So turn to 2 Chronicles 16th chapter, if you will. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, a king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasury of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, a king of Israel, that he might depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ajon and Dan and Abelamon and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, whereas Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanal the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulcher, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices, prepared by the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, this morning as we approach your word, Father, I pray that you fill us with a need to know what you would have us do, and you would take away our worries and our fears about this world and the conditions in, that you just fill us with that peace that you promised. If we seek first the kingdom of heaven, you'll give us all that we need. Father, may each and every person here this morning look into their hearts and their lives. If they have sin there that they're holding on to, Lord, may they get scared and be aware that the time is coming, that you're coming for your church. When you do, dear Lord, each and every one of us will carry that unconfessed sin and must be dealt with. And Father, the shame and embarrassment of having to face you was sin that we didn't confess. Lord, we know you forgive us of all sins and that you're just to forgive us. May we have the strength to rely on you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I've had many questions and saw many people actually under attack, I believe with all my heart, was Satan in the last few weeks. And I thought today we'd take a few moments to discuss where this world is going, where it came from, and where we're at right now. I think it's Christians have a tendency, if they study the book of Revelations or any of the prophetic books, they get scared. And I want to make a blanket statement to you. If you're living for the Lord, you have no reason to fear the end of the time. When Christ comes for his people, it'll be like you've never known before. Now, if you're out of fellowship with God and living in sin, then there's going to be fear in your heart because you don't have the peace of God. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you better be real scared. Because there is a point coming when this world will end. And as we see the direction this world is heading in, this morning I want you to try to understand where we're at. Every one of us who's gone to church have heard all of our lives that the Lord is getting ready to return. Now, folks, I don't know if he's coming tomorrow, today, or 100 years from now. I don't know. But I do know he did give us some patterns to look for. And this morning, we're going to talk about those patterns and let you leave here with an educated decision on what condition this world is in. Some of you, I emailed a couple of weeks ago an article that came out by a gentleman named Ben Stein. Ben Stein's a financial guru and has done a lot of stuff. But he wrote an article, and actually it was on CBS News. I'm going to read that to you, Dave. He wrote this, "I am a Jew, and every single one of my ancestors was Jewish. And it does not bother me even a little bit when people call those beautiful lit up bejeweled trees Christmas trees. I don't feel threatened. I don't feel discriminated against. That's what they are, Christmas trees. It doesn't bother me a bit when people say Merry Christmas to me. I don't think they're slighting me or getting ready to put me in a ghetto. In fact, I kind of like it. It shows that we are all brothers and sisters celebrating this happy time of year. It doesn't bother me at all that there is a manger scene on display at a key intersection near my beach house in Malibu. If people want a creche, it's just as fine with me as it is a few hundred yards away. I don't like getting pushed around for being a Jew, and I don't think Christians like get pushed around for being Christians. I think people who believe in God are sick and tired of getting pushed around, period. I have no idea where the concept came from that America is an explicitly atheist country. I can't find it in the Constitution, and I don't like it being shoved down my throat. Or maybe I can put it another way. Where did the idea come from that we should worship Nick and Jessica, and we aren't allowed to worship God as we understand Him? I guess that's a sign that I'm getting old too. But there are a lot of us who are wondering where Nick and Jessica came from and where the America we knew went to. In light of the many jokes we send to one another for a laugh, this is a little different. This is not intended to be a joke. It's not funny. It's intended to get you thinking." Billy Graham's daughter was interviewed on the early show, and Jane Clayson asked her, "How could God let something like this happen regarding Hurricane Katrina?" Anne Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. She said, "I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years we've been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman he is, I believe he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand he leave us alone? In light of recent events, terrorist attacks, school shootings, etc., I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hara complained she didn't want prayer in our schools, and we said, okay. She was murdered, actually, and her body was found recently. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbors yourself. And we said, okay. Then Dr. Spock said we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. Dr. Spock's son committed suicide. We said an expert should know what he's talking about, and we said, okay. Now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers or classmates and themselves. Probably if we think about it long and hard, we can figure it out. I think it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world's going down the tubes. Funny how we believe what the newspapers say but question what the Bible says. Funny how you can send jokes to the email and they spread like wildfire, but when you start sending messages regarding the Lord, people will think twice about sharing them. Funny how lewd, crude, vulgar, and obscene articles pass freely through cyberspace, but public discussion of God is suppressed in the school and the workplace. Are you laughing yet? Funny how when you forward this message, you will not send it to too many people on your address list because you're not sure what they believe or what they will think of you for sending it. Funny how we can be more worried about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. Pass it on if you think it has merit. If not, then trash it, discard it. No one will know what you did. But if you discard this, don't sit back and complain about what bad shape the world is in. Awesome article. This morning, as we talk about the condition of our world, we want to look at where God said the world is going to go. And I'm going to give you brief outlines today. We don't have near enough time to go into detail. But there's some major issues we need to talk on to both give peace to your soul and maybe to stir a little need in you to get out and tell more people about the Lord. You know, Satan, there's many Bible scholars say that satanic activity increases as the approach of our Lord coming back gets nearer. I can't personally tell you that's true. I know scripturally we saw a lot of satanic activity in the time of Jesus, but we had 400 years of silence prior to that. So I can't tell you that it was stirred up when Jesus returned. It may have been there. But I can tell by all examples that when the Lord is here and His presence is felt, that Satan becomes very active. I can tell you that in many of your lives, in the last few weeks, I've heard you tell me things that Satan was attacking you very hard. I've seen this church, every time we go in a growth spurt or we do Bible school or Awana's is coming up, that Satan comes after this church so hard. That's exciting. That's exciting. Now, I know if you're one of those got attacked, you're sitting there saying, Pastor, you don't have a clue. Believe me, I do have a clue. But I've been through it so many times in my life that when Satan attacks, it brings a darkness around me, but a joy to my heart. Because I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I don't have to fight the battle. All I have to do is be faithful to my Lord, and the darkness will pass. Folks, we're the light of the world. And our light's going to shine as long as we're faithful to God in this world. The Lord commanded us to be that. So let's look at where the world is going, how we got where we are, and where we are right now. I hear a lot of confusion out there among people, especially in this election year. And I hear more concern than normal about what's going on in government. And you should be concerned. You should be truly concerned about what's going on. I'll present to you in a moment that we're crossing a line in government right now that we'll never come back from, and that very much sets the scene for the end of the world coming. In 2 Chronicles 16, the passage we read, let's look at that a minute, why it pertains to us. It was a king. Israel and Judah were split kingdoms at that time. One king wanted all that one kingdom had, so he went out and built an alliance with Syria. And God got angry and says, you know, because you didn't come to me, you depended on man for the answers to your problems, now I'm going to curse you because I do this. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the world, giving strength to those whose hearts are perfect towards Him. So I want you to hold on to that promise this morning, okay? It says, the eyes of the Lord are roaming this world all the time, looking for people whose hearts are committed to Him, and it says He will give His strength on their behalf. Now, what's exciting about this is this, folks. It does not say giving strength to those who are committed to Him. It says giving His strength on their behalf. So if you're fighting a battle in your life, God has made a promise. If you're faithful to Him, He will fight the battle with His strength, and you can relax. That's such a joy to me to know. That it's not my strength that fights these battles. Because the battles we fight in our lives are tough. And they're getting tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. This world is suffering so bad because people are having to give up their second car. It's tough, huh? Instead of porterhouse, they have to eat ribeye. It's bad. No more ham sandwiches. We're back to bologna. Oh my goodness. Wearing the same clothes 2 days in 1 week. What a curse that is. We're so caught up in our economy and where that economy has put us that we're totally distracted about what's going on spiritually in this country and in this world. Folks, there's some things have to happen. Now, I'm going to tell you where we're headed. One is in Ezekiel 37 through 39, we hear of an invasion of Israel. It's going to take place by Russia with an alliance of many of the Middle Eastern countries, primarily Persia, which is Iran. That has to happen. Now, I can't tell you if it happens before the church is taken or after, but I can tell you it's going to happen. So one of the things that you can look to see the end of the world coming is this. Is Iran a threat to Israel? And I challenge any of you that ever turns on the TV, the first time in history, Russia and Iran have signed an agreement. You protect me, I protect you. Let me throw some of Islam's eschatology out there at you. And so, eschatology is a big word that stands for study of the future. It's a word Bible scholars made up to make themselves sound educated. Simply means talking about the future, okay? The Muslim world believes much like the Christian world does. They have what's called the 12th Amon. And he's this Messiah that's coming for them. And they believe that the world needs to be dominated by Islam, and that this 12th Amon is going to come back like a savior and oversee the world with them. Okay? But they believe the only way they can bring him back is if there's total chaos and turmoil in the world. You understand that? So let's take somebody who's a Christian and they are a fired up, true, hardcore believer. They will do everything they can to see the Lord return. Is that agree? Every one of you in here, wouldn't you love to see Jesus come back? Whether it scares you or not, wouldn't it be wonderful? Well, why do we not think the Muslims don't have that same fervor, that same fire? They want this future Messiah of theirs to come back. So what requires that is turmoil through the whole world, chaos. So what will they do to bring him back? We're not going to sign peace treaties with these guys. Guys, get it out of your head. That's gone. We're not going to make peace with the Muslim world. They don't want it. This guy who's the president of Iran has stated repeatedly, he thinks he's the John the Baptist of the Muslim world. He's the last prophet to talk of the 12th Amon returning. He has stated the nation of Israel must be wiped off the earth. What I'm going to bring to you, folks, it ain't going to get better. Okay? Quit hoping for peace treaties. Give it up. The Muslim world, when it was small and isolated, signed treaties because they didn't have much choice. They are now the second largest religion in the world next to Christianity. 1.5 billion active Muslims in the world. Okay? Not all Muslims are bad. Okay? They're not saved, but it doesn't mean they're bad people. But the fanatical movement within the Nation of Islam has spread the fear that the other Muslims won't stand up and say anything. Okay? They believe that the Muslim world should rule in an area that stretches from Indonesia to Morocco. That's huge. It's around the world. And they believe the only way that can happen is by conquering. Their Bible says those who don't believe kill by the sword. Now, can you see if us Christians went out this morning and all the hunters in there had their hunting rifle and Casey and Warren's going hunting? Can you see them carrying their rifles down the street? Do you believe in Jesus? Boom. Wouldn't work. Wouldn't be a good thing. Because our God is a God of what? Love. Their God is a God of fear and destruction. So what I want to lay for you is this invasion of Israel has to take place. The Bible prophesied it. Do you believe Iran's a threat to Israel right now? Do you believe Russia and Iran are forming an alliance right now? Do you believe this crazy guy that runs Russia, Putin, he's now gone to Venezuela and signed up with our great friend down there to provide him nuclear energy right out our back door? It doesn't matter, okay? I'm going to heaven, so they can do whatever they want to do. But why don't you be aware of is where this world is. Now, you parents don't get scared. My daughter said to me, Dad, that scares me because of my children. I said, honey, your children are going to heaven. Don't be afraid. Rest on God's promises. Now, if you have older children that aren't Christians, then, folks, you need to get stirred up. Lead those children to the Lord. That's what you need to do. But fact of the matter is, step one, the invasion of Israel has to take place. It is in its stages when you have a country saying, I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth. Think about it. If you would, I'm going to read to you from 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to talk about what's going to happen to the church. We as believers. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will bring God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So why don't you comfort you with this morning? If you die, before the Lord returns, he's bringing you back up there to the sky with him. If you're alive when he comes for his church, he's going to take you. It says it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye, quicker than a blink. We're going to go home to the Lord. There's no reason to be afraid. Bring comfort one to another with these things. Now, why would Christ do that for us? 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath which is to come." Okay? The tribulation, what you have is the rapture, the church being taken in the tribulation period. That's a period of time, 7 years here in the world. First 3.5 of peace, then 3.5 years of nothing but destruction. The wrath of God is cut loose on this world. But Jesus Christ delivered me from the wrath that is to come. Do you understand that? It's very specific there. I'm promised, if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, just as Paul quoted in Thessalonians 1:10, delivered from the wrath that is to come. I do not have to go through God's wrath. All right? Don't have to. Isn't that wonderful? Where, how would you like to be here when God got really mad? No. No. My wife scares me when she's mad. I can't imagine what it'd be like if God's mad. I don't want to be here. But you know what? I don't want a bunch of unconfessed sin in my life when he comes either. I don't want to stand there and say, "Yeah, Lord, I just had to have sex," and watch his face fall when he says, "I died on the cross that you'd act right. Get married if you got to have sex." I don't want to look at God and say, "Yeah, I lied now and then." I see his face fall with tears in his eyes. He says, "You know, I died on that cross so that you could be free from that bondage." Or any other sin you're carrying around with you, folks. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. But you're going to look your Savior in the eye. So he's coming for his church. He's going to take us away. We're promised that the wrath that God's going to pour out on this world, he's going to take it. Those of you who have been on Sunday nights, coming to church on Sunday night, which should be all of you. But those who have been coming, we've been studying the flood and the destruction of the world to flood. And Christ said the world's going to be just like it was before the flood. People are going to be eating and drinking and marrying and carrying on and living their lives like nothing's happening. Well, when the flood came, it's because God looked on the world and he said, "I can find nothing but evil in man. I can't find anything else." And the world was filled with violence. So I challenge you, is our world filled with violence? Is violence out there? Think about that. Well, you got the tribulation period, and you got the rapture, so that's where we're going. Three things have to happen. Invasion of Israel either prior to or after the rapture of the church. Tribulation period comes in and takes over. Tribulation period says there's going to be a one world government. Hold on to that term real strongly, if you will. One world government. In other words, the world is going to be ruled under the Antichrist from a central place, the whole world. Okay? Hold on to that. Don't forget that when we get into where we're at now. So these things have to happen. Because God said they were going to happen. I'm not going to tell you the whys. I'm going to tell you something I told Sunday school. When God tells the end of the world's coming, it's not because God said, "I'm going to do this." It's because God said, "Man is going to force me to do this." God desires that none should perish. This world could go on and on and on and on and on in God's perfect will. And people are saved day after day after day. But God in his foreknowledge says, it's going to get so bad, I'm not going to take any more. And I'm going to stop it. It's exactly what happened at the flood. It's what's going to happen in this whole world. If you're saved, wouldn't it be great to wake up in the morning and not have a house payment or a car payment? Have a nice mansion down the street to live in, big rooms, instead of having payments? Wouldn't it be nice to wake up in the morning and not worry about anything? Well, that's what the rapture is going to be like. It's going to hit you like that, and all of a sudden everything's passed away and you're with our Lord and Savior. You won't think evil thoughts. You won't do evil things. You won't be mad at your husband or your wife. Your kids ain't going to drive you crazy because they're going to be walking in the streets gold. They're not going to be. Relationships are going to change. It's going to be so awesome. Then there's going to be 3.5 years of peace in this old world. And a guy called the Antichrist is going to rise to power. It's called the Great Whore, which is going to be organized religion that's left in this world after the church goes. Because, folks, there's a whole bunch of people going to church that don't know Jesus Christ. Okay? Whole bunch. There's going to be a centralized, organized religion. that is going to help the Antichrist come to power. He's going to take over rule of this world. He's going to make a treaty with Israel. There's going to be peace. 3.5 years, this guy turns around and installs him in the temple in Jerusalem and claims himself to be God. And much of the world are going to bow and worship this satanic powered being. 3.5 years, that 40% of the world's population will die. 40%. You imagine that? That means that if you're walking down the street, you see two people. Well, when you see two, the odds are one of them's going to die. Now, you might make it to three on some of them, but 40%. So you can take it to 50 and say one out of every two people is going to die. Then Christ is going to come back. He's going to ride in on a white horse. He's going to bring his saints, and he's going to conquer this world, and he's going to chain Satan up. It's called the millennial reign. Satan will be chained up for 1,000 years, and Jesus Christ will rule here on earth. It's going to be wonderful. Those who live through the tribulation period will go on into the millennial reign. They're going to have children, I assume. The world will be perfect in that it's ruled by perfection. But believe it or not, at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan's going to be cut loose, and he's going to be able to find some friends that exist during that rule by Christ. He's going to round up an army. It says they're going to encompass the camp of the saints, and God is going to stop it all right there. Boom. Right at that point, Satan is cast in that lake of fire. It's going to be a great white throne that Jesus is going to sit on. And all those who never accepted him will have to walk to that great throne. And it says he will open the books, and he'll look, and he'll say, "You can't come in. But Lord, I went to church every Sunday." And he'll say, "But why did you go? But Lord, I gave money to the church." And he's going to say, "You know what? So what? So what? You never asked me into your heart." The Bible says even some are going to claim, "But we cast out demons and we prophesied in your name." And Jesus says to them, "Get away from me, you workers of iniquity. Why? Because I never knew you." And all those poor souls, not because Christ condemned them to hell. Make sure you get this in your head. They chose it. Because when you reject Christ, you select the other side. It's your choice. They'll go out in that little lake of fire. And then we believers live in that new city of Jerusalem, that new heaven and new earth is indescribable. The wonderful place we're going to. So don't be afraid of what's coming. But this is what must transpire. Invasion of Israel. Got to be a rapture of the church. Got to be a tribulation period. Got to be a millennial reign. That all has to happen. That's where we're going. Where have we been? Folks, you know, one of the dilemmas our country faces right now is health care. Does everybody agree with that? Why do we need health care? Because we're cursed. That's an absolute right answer. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that fall brought the health issues we have on ourselves. Do you understand that? That the need for health care is absolutely attributed to the fallen man. It's not because there's more diseases. It's because that as a fallen man, we have given our lives, if you will, to get in as big a mess as we can. That if this man had not fallen in the garden, there'd be no disease. There were no clothes. There were no nothing. Just don't eat one tree, you'll be fine. But because that woman wanted to be like God and that man listened to that woman, we now need health care. Now, if it's a part of the fallen man, why would we think it's going to get better? Somebody tell me. Why do you think your government can solve the problem? They can't. Your government can't stop sin. Do you understand that? The health care issue is a sin issue. Let's talk about economics for a minute, okay? $700 billion bailout that most of America was against. Before you're for it or against it, it doesn't matter because this isn't about politics. $700 billion. And you know what? There's clauses in there to help build beer distributors in Puerto Rico. Isn't that exciting for you? Do y'all understand what pork is in the government spending? These guys, I say, Warren's a senator, and he says, you know what? I really want to pass a bill that says that kids can't be molested at school. And the other senators say, okay, but if you want me to vote for that, then you stick a little rider on there that says I'll get $27 million to build blue birdhouses in my home state. So this wonderful bill goes through is to stop children from being molested, but on this bill is pork. $27 million to build blue birdhouses. So our government is so corrupt, you don't have a clue what you're voting for or what your representatives are taking through. Let me tell you, of that $700 billion, folks, you don't know what all's on there. If you take the time, Sunday on, pull up on the internet what these bills have in them, you'll be amazed at the junk that's tacked on. It's called pork. Okay, it's called pork. But let's get back to Adam and Eve. Economics. If man had not fallen in the garden, would he need to build houses or drive cars? Would he need to go grocery shopping? Did Adam and Eve go down to the corner market? Why? It was there. So do you understand economics as a result of the fallen man? Can you get that together in your head? That this situation is not about anything except fallen man bringing it down on himself? Now, we have to exist in this, folks. Yes, we inherited it from Adam and Eve. It's not your fault. But the things you do with your life to make it keep going, that's your fault. That's your choice. That's your right as an American. Economics are based on ignorance, bad choices, and uncontrolled spending. Uncontrolled spending. So where we've been is no different than where we are. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve made a choice. I no longer want to eat in the garden. I want to go out and go to Albertsons and see Steve. That's where I want to shop at from now on. Adam and Eve says, I don't any longer want to walk around the Garden of Eden naked. Everything perfect. I want to go down to Macy's and buy clothes. That's where and you know what I want to do? I want to drive a car to get there. I want two cars. I want to make sure I have plenty of transportation. Some of this sounds silly, but I'm trying to get you to relate that all the mess we're in is a result of fallen man. It started with Adam and Eve, and it's progressed throughout the years, and your government ain't going to stop it. It's not going to happen. Now, can it get better? Yeah. But it can't be healed. That's what I want you to understand. That the return of the Lord is the only thing that can heal fallen man. Has to happen. Let's talk about where we're at. Okay, some of you are afraid of the $700 billion. Let me tell you what your government made a decision to do. And this is probably the most solid proof that I believe the return of the Lord is imminent. In fact, if you will, turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, we're going to read verses 3 through 14. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of your coming, of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And we'll stop there at 9. But I want you to look at verse 8. There's a word there. Do you all see that word? Sorrows. Interesting word in the Greek. It means entering the throes of childbirth. Okay? Linda, you just had a baby. Are contractions fun? Do they hurt? Now, Linda was calm. Paul called one night and said she was having 5-minute contractions, 1 minute apart. Linda knew better. She knows it hurts. Christ is saying that when these things are in place, that it means creation is entering the beginning of the sorrows, are the throes of childbirth. And he's relating it so people could understand that pain. Okay? So what you have to put this into perspective of where we're at is those items that are mentioned that are going to happen, are they starting to happen? If they're not, then we're not there, okay? But do you see nation rising against nation? Okay? If you go over to Timothy, Paul says that men will quit listening to the parents. Paul tells Timothy, you know, in the end times, perilous times, people quit listening to their parents, that men are strictly lovers of themselves. In other words, they care more about themselves than anything else. Do you see that happening in this world? It says children will no longer be obedient to their parents. Do you see that happening in this world? It says that man will become incontinent. Now, what that means, and we talked about this, I believe, Wednesday night, is out of control. Man will have no control of himself. You ever met somebody that just couldn't control the rage? You ever seen that? Somebody that just blows up, has no control. Folks, that's a sign of the end of time, when man cannot control himself. We see it in our kids. We see it in the youth of our nation. Why? Because those poor kids are learning that family means nothing anymore. Those poor kids have no place to get affection. There's such turmoil in their lives that they just blow up. You ever met anybody that had no control of themselves? You ever met people that go out and spend everything they're going to make for the next 10 years buying a house or a car? You ever seen that? Everybody that buried themselves in debt? What's one of the parts of this $700 billion bailout program based around? Because you had $100,000 incomes buying $500,000 homes. Does that make sense to you? Out of control. Why would somebody do that? Because they have no control. All of you, anybody here has bought a new car, has probably experienced this somewhat. You go down, and there's the Mercedes, and it has everything you want in it. It's $892 a month. Well, oh, it has everything I could want in it. Over here is the little Volkswagen that runs real fast, gets good gas mileage. But man, don't set near as nice. Just don't set as good. But that's only $148 a month. Well, you leave the lot with the Chevrolet in the middle that costs you $500. Yes, Lord, I didn't take the best, but you still took more than you could afford. It's a desire to have more than you can actually afford. We all get sucked into that in various things. You know, we give 1,000 examples. What I'm saying is the mess our economy is in is because man has lost control and can't say no. Now, we can blame the mortgage brokers. I'll be honest with you, most of them should be shot for what they've done, talking people into taking the loans, okay? But if you buried yourself, nobody held a gun to your head when you did it. You signed the dotted line out of free choice because you had no control. All right. You can blame the mortgage brokers. You can blame Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae. You can blame the president. You can blame Congress. You can blame a Republican or Democratic party. You can blame anybody you want to. But you had the choice to say, no, I will not sign there. But man has lost control. And that's what Paul was talking about. That the end times, people will no longer have control. We Christians need to get into our Bible and look at these terms and say, where are we at? Folks, we're laying the foundation for the Antichrist coming. Let me tell you why. In this $700 billion bailout plan, our government has now decided to start buying partial ownership in banks. Does everybody here know what nationalism is? That's when the government controls business by ownership in business. We see it in communist countries. They come in and nationalize the businesses. We see it in these little socialist states where they say, oh, for the good of the greater good of all, we're going to take over all the banks and all the power companies and all the oil companies. It's called nationalism. Your country, your government has now made a decision. We are going nationalism. Will it happen? Oh, no, you're going to sleep and wake up one day and it's there because you slept through it when the $700 billion bill went through instead of realizing what it is. Nationalism sets the stage for what? Globalism. Do you understand that the world banks have now signed an agreement? We're going to pump money into the economies to stabilize things. We're going to buy up businesses. Folks, that is globalism. Now, let me explain to you. Globalism is controlled by a one-world government. Are you going to know when it happens? No. What I'm trying to get you to see is that the Antichrist coming and ruling is determined by a one-world government. Folks, it ain't going to be that one day the Antichrist jumps up and says, let's be a one-world government. What's going to happen is we are going to lay the foundation that allows this man of sin, the son of perdition, to rise up. Yes, we're going to be raptured out of this world. We're going to heaven. But folks, the foundations will be laid, I believe, before the church is raptured. I believe we'll see it in place. Now, Antichrist can't rise up while the church is here because the restrainer of the Holy Spirit holds him back, and that's inside you and I. But it's going to change. We're already gone national. I promise you in the next few years that our government will own the big businesses in this country, but not only that, and the world banks will own. What happens is that you become desensitized and you accept it. Or, and I should say we, I'm sorry, I don't mean to preach at you. I'm the biggest dummy of the bunch. I've seen it all my life. We are so desensitized. How many of you 10 years ago would have been offended if a Victoria's Secret commercial came on your television? Hold up your hand. Would it have offended you 10 years ago? Now some of you guys are saying, wouldn't bother me. But would it have offended you? Does it offend you now, or is it you just don't see it? It's there. I've told Sunday school classes, I can remember when a beer commercial came on TV when I was a boy, and that was the old transistor TVs. It took forever to warm up. Dad would turn it off. So when he turned it back on, the commercial was over. It's going to take 17 minutes before you ever got a picture back. You missed the whole show. One commercial. Oh, it used to irritate me. But we've become desensitized. We accept whatever's brought in front of us. And folks, you as a people, I as a person, are now accepting nationalism. Can we stop it? No, ain't going to happen. It's already there. What I want you to get is don't walk this world with your eyes closed, because this world right now is laying the foundation for the man of sin to rise up. What does that mean for us? It means I'm going home pretty soon. Amen. Praise God. We'll have rapture practice. We'll do that. How exciting it will be to go home. Sad thing is there's a whole bunch of people don't go to Google with us. Where we're at today, and that's what this is all about. And I'm sorry I've taken so much of your time. Well, I'm not sorry. Get mad at me. I don't care. Where we're at is where the Bible says we're going to be. On the threshold, on the cusp of the end. What does our obligation as Christians? Folks, I believe we must stand up and say, I won't take any more, but I'm afraid it's gone too far for us to stop it. We have an awesome God that many times will heal a land if His people stand up and say, heal us, Lord. So it could happen. But I know this. I've got friends. I've got neighbors. They're going to hell. And I'm going to get to heaven and say, Lord, didn't know you were coming so soon. And He's going to say, you know, I told you that no man knoweth the hour nor the day. Only God knows that time. But that you can know the time of my coming by the seasons. When the leaves change in the mountains, what does that mean? Come on, I know somebody knows. Wow. It means winter's coming, isn't it? Folks, do you see the leaves changing in the world? There's a dark day coming. Don't. This presidential election, let me tell you something. We have an obligation as Christians to stand up and vote what the Scriptures taught us. If you're voting your wallet, explain that to the Lord someday. I'm not going to. Vote your morals. That's how you should vote. But that said, whoever gets elected, God let them get elected. Okay? He let it happen. Doesn't mean He wanted it to happen. Don't get me wrong. God's not going to put somebody in office unless His people are faithful and say, Lord, heal my nation. But whoever gets elected, it's because God allowed that authority. Paul talks about it intensely in Romans. No authority in government is allowed except by God. So whoever gets elected, God allowed it to happen. Now, one of two things is going to happen. He allowed it to happen because He's going to let this old world go on and this man's good. Or He's going to let it happen because the world cried out. Said, give us this man, God. What'd the nation of Israel do? God, we don't have a king. Everybody around us has a king. We look like the poor folks on the block. We need a king. God says, okay, I'll give you a king. I'll give you Saul. And God's sitting up there saying, well, this guy's crazy, but I'm going to give him to you. See, he's good looking. He's tall. He had everything going for him. Saul was the perfect. Can you imagine the nation of Israel? Oh, did you see our king? He's so much prettier than your king. He's a lovely man. You know, you look at the magazines today and the newspaper ads. This candidate is beautiful. Whoopee, Saul was a good-looking fella. But man, he was nuts. But Israel had to have him. Oh, we need a king. So bad we need a king. Come on, God. Let us have a king. You know, when you're a kid, you pout and you kick. And God says, oh man, take your king. Well, we're going to have a ruler. I'm afraid this country's going to cry out for a ruler that's bad for us. But you know what? It's America. Every one of us has a right to make our own choices. But as Christians, we must do our best to follow the dictates of God's Word and what it says. So I challenge you this week, and I'm going to shut up now, and I know it's hard to believe, but I am. Take the time to pray about your vote. Take the time to realize what God wants. Don't worry about your wallet, folks. God tells you if you seek His kingdom, His will first, He'll give you everything you need. Can't promise you the Mercedes, but you'll always have at least a Volkswagen. Vote your morals. Witness your morals, because the end of this world is close. We are in the journey right here. And God said it was going to be just like this. It saddens my heart because Christians have not become unified in what's morally right. Isn't it time we stood up and said, I stand for Jesus Christ? Isn't it that time? Isn't it time that we quit being ashamed of our faith? Isn't it time, Hebrews says, come to church and build one another up. Folks, give somebody a hug and say, you know what, it's going to be okay. Whatever's going on in your life, it's going to be okay. Just hold on to the Lord. I hope this morning that you understand when you leave here, the world is going to end. So it's our obligation just to be in the best place we can in our relationship with God when it happens. Bible says it'll come as a thief in the night. One will be on the rooftop working. One will be in bed sleeping. Who knows when it's coming? Only God. Well, folks, you don't need to worry if you're ready. Get your children founded in a solid faith that'll hold them true if this old world keeps going. It may outlast all of us here this morning. Some of you is pretty old. You are. Being young myself, I'm probably going to make it. Fact of the matter is this, get ready. Wherever you're at in your life, get ready. What number, Brian? You know what? I'm sorry, I'm going to change your song. I want to sing Victory in Jesus. We got some victory going. Please stand. What number? 116. Turn your hymnals to 116. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus because you are victorious over Satan, folks. You have Jesus in you. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Almighty God, Father, we know that your scripture is all truth. We know it's very simple to see that the world is heading in the direction you said it would. And Lord, may we be faithful and true not to get all upset and all terrified. Lord, let's just get determined that the day you call us home, that we're smiling and ready, Lord. And that person next to us that didn't know you is smiling and ready too because we told them. Forgive us our sins, dear Father, in thy name. This morning, if God's touched your heart, you want to come up and recommit to him, just come up and get on your knees. If you don't know Jesus Christ, come take my hand. But most of all today, say, God, I want to walk the path you want me to walk. Victory in Jesus, number 116.